short time this morning. Think with me. I want to take Philippians 3 and start there as we look at the Apostle Paul. What we're looking at now, as we look at Paul, we're looking at something that each one of us has. It's according to the direction of what we have. That which I'm talking about is that desire in your heart. What is the desire that presses you on? And how do we obtain the right desire? Because Paul tells us in Ephesians that it was the desires of the flesh, desires of our mind, that was corrupted. Let me just read this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concessions. For we are the circumcision. He's talking about the circumcision of the heart here. In other words, we have a new heart. Taking the fleshly part off now. Which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And then, of course, Paul goes on to say if he might have confidence in the flesh. And he goes on to tell us about those things, about his circumcision, about who he was as far as a Benjamite, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous which is in the law, blameless. But here's what I want to look at this morning most of all. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Remember, this is what Paul is saying. Each one of us must say this. We must come to this conclusion. So that means, as much as I can see, that I must see something. That's where I begin. If my desires were on the flesh and on my mind, they must be changed. There must be a drastic change, and it takes the power of God to set us free from sin and death. The power of God, and to place within us a desire. I must see something. You must see something. Each one of us must see something. And here's what it does. As Paul was saying, what things were gained for me, those I counted for loss. You've got to see something to say this. Then he goes on. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's not knowledge about God now, that's knowing Christ. Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. There's tremendous thoughts in the area of what God is doing and wants to do, but it demands everything that He has given to us, the ability that He has given to us. I'm not looking for my ability. I'm not looking for to change my desires. I need new desires. I can no longer live after the flesh, because if I live after the flesh, I'm going to die. And that means separation from God when he's speaking about that kind of death. So when we're talking about those things which are the most precious to us, it's because we see something. If we don't see something, we need to cry out to God to cleanse our hearts, our minds, and open up our eyes. Paul saw something. He saw something that, where he began, he saw something because it took him to the desert. When somebody came along to try to get him to go to Antioch, he saw something. He went with him. And from there on, you can see the revelation that God revealed to Paul worked out in the flesh. Not in the power of the flesh, but in the human body. The desires that we have, it needs to focus down to where they're no longer plural, but single. Reading that verse there in Philippians, wouldn't you say that that's true? There's one desire that controls the Christian, and that desire is to know Christ, to experience Him. It's so simple, and sometimes we become kind of complacent to the fact about it, because it had no drawing power, but it does have power. It's the only power that God has given. The drawing power of His love. The drawing power of Calvary. To bring us to that place that our desires can be single and be heavenly. There's a great working going on in the lives of the Christian. It's a glorious working. But again, we have to be focused. And if our eyes are not single, then we're going to have desires, plural, not a desire. Now, that may sound simple to you and may not fit into what you think is happening in your life, but that's what has to happen. All desires must come to a single desire, and that single desire is that I may know Him. It starts when you experience Him for the first time. The desire, the ability to take and have a change of desire, to where now it's a spiritual desire. It's a heavenly desire. This world is not my home. I know that some of us, the way we live here, we think we're going to be here 1,000 years, and that's not funny. I'm not trying to be funny about it, because that's what we live. We're putting everything into that. But the Bible says this world is not our home. We're pilgrims, and we're passing through. Do we live that way? Where's our desire? Do we have split desires? Come on, it gets down to where it's narrow. But then narrowness brings us into fullness. Because as long as we have those split desires, we're in bondage. When we have desires of the world, desires for this life, rather than desires for Him. Now, in Him, you're going to find the fullness of provision. Sometimes it's hard for us to balance these things, but the Holy Spirit can do it. If we just allow Him to speak to our hearts, He can balance these areas to where we can have heart for God, period. One desire. Not two desires, one desire. Not 10 desires, one desire. If we would come to each one of us this morning and say, what is the greatest desire in your life? We would probably say, after hearing these few words, it's to know Christ. But all we have to do is step back and see our lives. Which way are we going? What are we doing? Add up the money that we have and what we spend. Who are we spending it for? Are you there? Now, are we willing to look at these things this morning? Because I'm not here to try to preach at us, but that we can look at these things. Look at these things, because if you never come to grips, if you never stop, because that's what we need to do. Stop. Be still. Know that God is God. And if being still doesn't change the course of your life, then you have yet not seen anything. When you see Him, it changes the course of your life. Every decision that you make from that point on is based upon one thing, Him. What you do, what you look forward to, based upon one thing, Him. You say, well, that's not my experience. I'm just telling you what the power of God does. I mean, we talk about the power of God, and we think maybe the power of God to do miracles, but the greatest miracle of all is when God changes you. And He doesn't stop in just the initial change. He does a perfect job there, but it's a continual conforming to the image of Himself. You can say it's a slow process. I would say this morning it's a sure process. I am convinced in what I read and the very words that are used by the Apostle Paul. You in Christ Jesus now, you in union with Christ are predestinated to be conformed to His image. So I know that what God is doing is going to come to the fullness of His purpose. But it's depending on one thing. Your union with Christ doesn't come that God picks out a select few. No, it's your union. Those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that are part of the body of Christ. I'm also reminded in Hebrews, just a kind of a phrase here, but it's more than that. It's a few verses. But as he goes on to talk about this thing of learning obedience by the things which he suffered in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, in the ninth verse he says, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Obedience. That's a word that we just kind of set aside when we hear it. But it has many workings out in our lives. Paul, as you see him, shall I say, straining against everything that was thrown against him, because he said, I'm pressing on towards the mark. That is a straining. Moving with every muscle, with every thought. Captivated by one thing, the love of Christ. If anything else captivates you, you're in bondage. It must be the love of God that captivates you. This morning you may think, I'm in bondage. I'm not. I'm free. I'm the freest as anyone sitting here. Freed into Him. Pressing? I'm pressing. Straining. Every single spiritual ability that God gives me, I'm straining for one thing, to know Him. In every area, I have one desire, and that is, whatever the situation is, to know Him. And I believe that's what God has for each one of us. God doesn't put demands on one of us and not on another. And these demands are demands of love. As you go on and read this fifth chapter of Hebrews, he speaks about, when the time comes, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as one need of milk, not of strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, but he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, it's a very simple area that I want to look at here in this particular verse. To them that are full age, even those who are by reason of use, they've been exercised. They've seen something. I mean, we can look at Paul and we can admire Paul, but Paul was a man the same as we are. He was in a human body. And he had God in his life. He had the power and the knowledge of what God was doing. And we too can have this. God has not hid this and just give it to the Apostle Paul. He has opened up each one of our eyes that want to see and wait upon Him to see something that's going to captivate the controlling factor in our lives. That's our desire. What you desire is what you're going to set your heart upon. Where your heart is, that's where you're going to be. Simple, but it's true. Sometimes we think we're losing out when we go this way, but we're going to have to be exercised. And that's one of the things that I want to talk to us about, this area of being exercised. Because if you're not exercised in righteousness by the Spirit of God, in other words, your response to God, not your response to just words, not just reading the Scriptures in response, but your response to God is that which is going to build in you the ability that you need. Shall I say the character to be? Character is very important in this walk of faith. Character, in my observation, is who you are. Where you're coming from. Do I know where you're going? Because if you are grounded and settled, if your desire is Him, it will take and work out and be seen in your life. Every step that you take, it will be seen. Not in its full maturity. No question about this. But if our desire is Christ and Him alone, it will be evident and seen in our lives. We need character. Desire. Because if we don't have a desire, and you could ask yourself, what is desire? Desire comes from what you see, what you hear, what you set your heart upon, and when I say that, I mean your whole being, what you set upon. That's where your desires are directed. And to most of us, if the desire is not too big, we can obtain it in our own effort. But when it comes to this one desire, to know Him, you cannot do it by yourself. You need Him. And then He said, I've given you myself. I've given you my life. I mean, this is a joy. This is not something this morning that we're losing out. This is something that we're gaining. But this is what I'm trying to say this morning is that this is a process of development from a child to those that are responsible. That takes character, because you can take a child, they're not responsible. You can take a child as they go on up, and you don't see the character yet built in them to where you can put your hand to where they're at. They just kind of toss to and fro. But when somebody is established, when their lives are established, where there's character built in them, they become responsible. And we can rejoice in that. Discipline. There's all kind of areas that we can look at this morning, but let's look at Hebrews, on further in Hebrews here. And I'm not going to take too long to go through all of this here. I just want to read a couple of verses. One of them is the 25th verse of the 12th chapter. Seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he is promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. Beloved, the signs of the time, if there's ever a time, the earth and the heavens are being shaken. It's close at hand. Of course, if you're not looking, and if your desire is not to know him and him alone, you're not really looking. And this is a single-minded thing. This is one goal and one goal alone, the goal of life. In other words, God made you for Himself. He didn't make you to enjoy yourself. He made you for Himself. As you read on down here, in the 28th verse, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Of course, that is our attitude towards God. That is really moving in this purpose, in faith and knowing Him. Not a small thing. It demands all. It demands all of us. Sometimes I think we can just sneak along and do a little bit when we want to. But what I'm talking about demands all, because when you receive it, you receive all that He is. The narrow way, as many times we refer to it as, is that which leads into the fullness of God's blessing. Moses, he chose to forsake the pleasures of sin for a season. He didn't identify with Egypt and look to that. He chose one thing, to be identified with the children of God. We have a choice. It tells you very simply, to enjoy sin for a season. But God has given to us greater promises, and we can rejoice in Him this morning. We need to be partaking of all that He has. We need to be at the well drinking of His goodness. We shouldn't be waiting for somebody to tell us. We should be encouraging. Tell me more. I can remember years ago, I was in a foreign land, and I was ministering, and every night after the service, I'd hear a knock on my door at the hotel where I was staying. Young man standing there, he says, "I didn't get enough." Man, he drained. He drained everything I had every night, and then every night. He didn't fail a night. When I got back to my room, I heard that knock on my door. Are we hungry? Do we have that desire to know more? Just to know Him. To experience Him. Now, I want to go to one other area here, if you might bear with me for a moment or two more, which is found in Peter, 2 Peter. You all are very familiar with this passage, because we speak about it continually. It speaks about growth. It speaks about what God has given to us. It speaks about His divine nature. Then, as you read on down there, it says, beside this. You say, man, that ought to be enough. Beside this. Now, here comes your part. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have a part. You have a part. Beside this, giving all diligence. You may think that you can be diligent in this, and you may for a day, you may for a week. Is it going to be lasting? Is it going to be lasting, the diligence that we're talking about here? There must be a addition from God in your life. And if you're diligent, and of course diligent means this to me, means that it's an exercise of my will, of course, but it's all of me active. To be diligent on a continual basis means that I must activate my will continually in one direction. That's the spiritual diligence that I'm talking about, because as I've already said, and I stick to it, you can't have two desires, you must have one desire. If you're mixed emotions about this, if you're mixed as far as your desires are concerned, it will show. Your desires will be set in this world rather than on the things of heaven. And God's shaking at this time. Everything in heaven and earth is being shaken. And if you don't believe it, just look around. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you'll see that the heavens and the earth are being shaken. But we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Are we in that kingdom? Are we set as Paul was to obtain the things that are eternal? Diligence. Diligence. I look, and I'm sure that you can look this morning. I want you to look. There are times that you can be diligent, but if you'll be truthful with me and yourself, most of all, your diligence is when you set your desires on something that you want. And I've already said this morning that unless you want this, nobody's going to push it on you. Some of you can sleep here if you want to, but this may be the last time you hear it. I remember one time down in Jamaica, a young man, he scoffed at it. And I said, you better not scoff. And it was. I said, this is the last time you're going to hear it. This is your chance tonight. He kept laughing. It was his last chance. That night on the way home, riding a motorcycle, smeared. Never had a chance. Are we serious about what God is doing? Do we really believe that it's important that we hear what God is doing? Diligence. Giving all diligence. Great emphasis on this. Peter's putting a great emphasis on this diligence, giving all diligence. As I look at it, and you look at it with me here, to be diligent in the direction that we're talking about in heavenly things, it takes character. It takes something that's built in us. I'm talking about the spiritual reality of what God is doing, because if these things are not built in us, then we're going to be barren. But if these things are built in, if we are diligent in what God is doing and we allow them to be built in us, and it goes on to tell you what they are, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Everything in this list has an importance. You want to take a look at this first one before we go on to the second one? A moral excellence. You want to see it in its full expression? Look at Jesus. Sometimes we're not so much concerned about it because we're so mixed today and everything is going along. We give place for everything. We give place for laziness. We give place for you to think what you think. I'll think what I think. I don't give that place to you. If I don't believe that what I am sharing with you today is worth you hearing it, I won't share it with you. But we cannot look at this the way the world is looking at it today. Because if we do, we're not going anywhere. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence. Well, this comes against some of the doctrine of today that just gives you a right to do what you want to. And then some of them don't even put any demands upon on the people there. They just come and go and do what they want to. You know, you can't help but sin. And then what God said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Growth. Growth. It takes character. The first thing, it takes desire. And then I believe that desire needs to be, has growth in it, to where we push with our whole hearts. Our desires are set upon things that we do not see at this moment. That takes something. That takes a divine revelation from God. And the Spirit of God is here to give it. Because what we move towards, the hope that's within each one of our hearts, is the hope that can only be fulfilled in a walk of faith. We only see by faith. Somebody come up and promise you some wonderful thing and show you a brochure, that'd be something else. But God says, follow me. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And I will come again. Where I am, there you shall be also. Glory. That takes hope. That takes faith. That takes a revelation that allows us to put our desires in Him. Remember what I said? I took all those desires and put it into one person. My desires in Him. I come up with one desire. That I may know Him. In the power of His resurrection. We may get tired of hearing it. But there's one thing that happens. When the Holy Spirit comes, He quickens this mortal body. He changes it. Now we need to set our minds upon things which are heavenly, set our affections on things which are above, set our things upon things that are true, lovely, pure, good report. Find no place to set it on the things of the world. We're pilgrims. Can't we just enjoy ourselves? Achan, he thought he could, you know, after that battle of Jericho, he thought he'd just partake of a little of those things that God said not to partake of. What happened? He lost it. We think that we can just play with the world and have the riches of eternal life. Diligence with our desire set upon God and Him alone. We have much to learn. All of us. Every one of us. We have so much to experience. I'm sure that many of us are experiencing a little here and a little there, and we know that just a little never satisfies us. Always, as the Apostle Paul says at the end of his life, I'm pressing on. Tremendous word that's used there, pressing. Straining. Of course, we think sometimes this is human effort. This is not human effort. This is what happens in each one of us as we see something and as our desires are brought to that, with that flaming of God's Holy Spirit, brought to a climax to where we see it controls our lives. The expression of what God wants to do in each one of us. It brings diligence. It's a process. We need character. And it's only as we are diligent in our relationship. This diligent in faith. Add to your faith. Give all diligence to add to your faith. There must be a moral excellence. Now, you can put character in there if you want to, but that's where it belongs, I think. A moral excellence. Who you are in God. Not who you are separate from Him, who you are in Him. That's the kind of character we're looking for. We're looking for character that will stand the test. Because if you don't, if nothing built in you, when the storms come and the tests come, you're not going to stand. If you don't believe that, just go out and look along the road and see. They're not standing. They have drifted away. They've fallen away. Many of them not even lukewarm. Of course, it doesn't speak to us. But what needs to speak to us? What we have is the greatest treasure that this world has ever known. Eternity is all about one thing. Oneness with God. That's what eternity is all about. You can read it in there. It's there. Our oneness. Our movement with Him. Our knowing Him, experiencing Him. He's God. We're His creation. You think we're going to get it all? Yes, we're going to know as we're known. But do you think it's going to take millions and millions and trillions of years to experience all that He is? We never think of that. And yet we have minutes here, and we don't know how many minutes we have or how many years we have. We take it for granted, as I say. And of course, when you get to talking about these things are areas that we just don't want to touch because they demand something. Character demands something. Who you are. People can depend upon you because they know you. You've proved out before them. Character. A moral excellence. I know he will stand the test. I know she will stand the test. How do you know? I've seen her life. I've seen his life. I know they will stand the test. Why? Because they're trusting in Him. That's the only thing. There's the desire to know Him. Again, let me bring you back to what I've said already. That knock at the door. Wanting to know more. Many years after that, I wrote this young man to see if he still had that knocking desire. I found out he had cooled off. He had bought into the things of the world. He had become successful. He had a family now. And they came before God. Success had brought into his life. He lost that knocking. And I want more. We have a choice. Every one of us. There are those that are still knocking, still asking, still seeking. For what? For the treasure of all treasures. For God Himself. See, I mean, sometimes we think that, you know, it's just a little gift to God. God wants to give you Himself. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's God coming to abide within you. Coming to let you experience why He made you as a man or woman. Made you for Himself. Made where He can indwell you. Made to where you can move together, where you can enjoy the riches of what He has prepared for you. Because if you're not prepared here, you're not going to get prepared there. And God has riches prepared for us. Glory. It's going to be a glorious procession when the saints of God go marching in. That day when that trump sounds and He calls His people home, those that are watching, waiting, those that are prepared, those that are adorned. Oh, you say, it will be worth it all, some songwriter said. When we see Jesus, it will be. There's nothing in this world that we can do that's going to have any comparison to what He has prepared for us. Those that have been diligent, those that have let their desires be brought to a place of being single. Oh yeah, you can desire the world. And you can justify it. You can say, God wants me to be happy. Go ahead. But there has been, and there are testimonies of those. We don't like to hear them because it always cuts right at what we're doing. But those that have stood the test, those that have denied the fruit of sin for a season to be identified with God and what He's doing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And those clouds break away. And I'm not trying to get at your emotions, but when they break away and He says, come home, brother, it's going to be a glorious time. More than we can realize. It's not that we've escaped, but we're there to see Him. The fulfillment of that pressing on, that I may know Him. Glory in the power of His resurrection. May God help us in these areas, because unless our desires are fixed on Him, nothing's going to be built in our lives. Desire is very important. Even desires of the flesh and the mind, you see what it brought us to destruction, to live for ourselves. But the desire, when all those desires have been brought to a single desire, it means I'm pressing on. I'm desirous of knowing Him today. I'm not waiting. I'm experiencing Him today. And I want to experience more of Him. I want to experience God with you. You want to experience God with others. Man, this isn't something that's selfish. That's the most wonderful part about it. It's not something that I can just take and I got a corner on it. Beloved, when you get what God has for us, it's for all of us. And we want each one of us to experience it. And we want to experience it together. Glory. And it's glorious. May God help us today to bring us to that place that if we don't have a desire, that we will take the time to wait upon God to where God can show us something. Because I part earnestly to believe, unless you see something, you're not going to have a desire for it. You've got to see something. Paul saw something. You may not have your Damascus Road experience with God, but you're going to have an experience with Him. God said that He would come and reveal Himself to you. He said the Spirit would come to indwell you. He said He would make His abode with you. So you're going to have an experience with God. One thing that Paul, when he saw Him, he said, what would you have me do? And of course, here's the bad part. We don't like to hear this. Well, I'm going to show you, Paul, what you must suffer for my sake. And beloved, while we're here, we're going to suffer. If we're going to reign with Him, we're going to suffer for His name's sake. And people all through the ages have suffered. Many have given their lives. We're not talking about giving up things. When I got saved, I didn't give up a thing. Hallelujah. Think about it when you got saved. Did you give up anything? You just didn't have a desire for anything of the world. He changes the desire. Now that desire must increase to where there's only one thing, that I may know Him. It's lasting. It began in Paul. He lost everything that he had. He counted it as no more than dung that he might win Christ. No different today. That I may know Him. Let me put it to you this way. You can't love the world and love God. They don't mix. You have to do one thing. One desire. Your whole desire must be set upon Him. Praise Him. Glory to God.